Insecurity Podcast. MVPs fight to the last. Inside and know how. We take the challenge now. Welcome to the Security MVP Insights, the podcast where we bring you in-depth conversations with top cybersecurity experts from around the world. I'm your host, Frans Oudendorp.
And I'm Puyan Kabaji. Today, we have a special episode for you. In this episode, we are thrilled to be joined by not one, but by two incredible guests, Kato Reichman and Pablo Chacon, both working with Microsoft and help driving the community.
Kato and Pablo have made significant impact to the community and how Microsoft is engaged with it. And today, they will be sharing their knowledge on that with us.
Kato and Pablo, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you here. To start off, could you both share a bit of your journey into the world of Microsoft security community? How did you each get started and what drew you to this field?
Three questions in one. with who do we start,
Great start. So Pablo, I guess I'll jump in and start really quick and then I'll pass it over to you because I know our journeys differ quite a bit, actually. So I'll have two very different perspectives coming into this. So Kato Reichman, I kind of, tripped and fell into the world of technology. Scholastically, I was focused on German studies and economics. So really nothing to do with technology. And I was a big sports fan. So I've actually played even sports professionally. Again, nothing to do with technology. And then, a couple of jobs after college, I found the world of IT and decided it was something that I was passionate about, made my way to Microsoft and have actually jumped around within Microsoft from marketing, which was my primary focus when I first joined Microsoft, did some in sales, some in strategy, bit in operations, worked a bit with finance, and just in the last couple of years have made the move to the world of cybersecurity on the engineering side. And for me, really, the reason why I came into this role is because it was something that's super exciting, something that's changing constantly. I loved the idea of kind of being a part of everything that was happening in the world of security within Microsoft. And going back to my marketing roots, it really aligns well to the community side of things, because community has a lot to do with marketing as well.
And Pablo?
Wow. Well, first of all, hi, friends, and hi, Puyan. Thank you for hosting us here. And Katie, I learned something new about you. I didn't know your educational background until now. It's super interesting. And hello, everybody. My name is Pablo Chacon. I have been in technology all my life. When I decided to, what I wanted to study is definitely, it was computer sciences back in the day. And I have had the unusual experience of working with Microsoft or being related to Microsoft even during my university years, because first I was an intern and the internship rules work differently in different countries. So I was an intern for over 6 years. And then I had a little bit of a stint as a contractor for Microsoft, but finally joined Microsoft in 2001 as an employee. And I have had multiple different roles. I started in Microsoft IT, the organization that was responsible for managing the IT services within Microsoft. And soon after, I had the privilege to join an organization that incubated the very first cloud services for Microsoft. I worked in the organization that later became to be Microsoft Intune. Our cloud management product. And I worked in Microsoft Intune for almost a decade. And in different roles, obviously. It has been like working on different things, but in Microsoft Intune for almost a decade. And at that point in 2018, something compelled me to learn something new, to explore new horizons. And security, it started to being a little bit of a buzzword, but it was also intriguing. And I also have to say, very intimidating. And I knew that that intimidating portion was going to force me to learn something new. And I took the jump. And immediately when I jumped into security, I was my first role was to build a community. I was responsible for building the what at the time we called the Microsoft Security Advisory Board, a group of selected customers that provided feedback just like today, but in a much smaller scale. This was before COVID. We used to meet in person. And also so much I missed those in-person meetings. COVID was definitely a pivotal point for everything that happened in the planet, including our community. We suddenly realized that the culture has changed and we could reach to many more security professionals and more people to help us understand what we should do to improve our security products. And that is when our CCP community really scaled up, going from dozens of members to now we have over thousands of members. And it has been a great experience for me because I feel that I'm privileged because I'm the advocate for both sides. I'm the advocate for our security products. And we are, with Katie and the rest of our CCP team, we are the advocates of both the product, but we are also the advocates, and very importantly, for our customers and our partners. And I love being in this point where basically I'm not here. I'm basically here just to listen and to make sure that the voice of our customers and our partners and our MVPs are always considered in the engineering decisions that we make. And I think that that is one of the things that I love the most about this job. I hope that answered your questions.
It's an amazing answer for both for Katie and you, Pablo. So hearing your history, I think you have been with Intune for the silver light time even.
Ooh.
From since the beginning.
I let me just say something. I remember a first release of Intune, and it was only a PC management cloud service. And it was really very basic, right? Nothing compared to what it become to be these days. Such an amazing platform.
I know these days. I was one of the consultants that I was working with Intune from the first beginning, I guess. So it's so long time ago. And I think we have that in common, Pablo. I moved into from the workplace area, I moved into cybersecurity and helping now customers on that. Really good to hear that from both of you. You mentioned you're both working within the CCP program, the Customer Connection Program. One of you, Katie, for example, can you explain a bit what the CCP is and what that means for Microsoft and us as MVPs, but also customers or other ones that probably could join or won't join?
Sure. Yeah. So the CCP, or Customer Connection Program, is really a community, a program where we're connecting our engineers to the users of our products to understand what are their user experiences, what are the things that they like that work well, what are the things that they'd like to see change, recommendations for improvement, what's not working, so that we can really put that user experience at the center of software development, right? And so that's what our community is all about, being able to listen to our users, to make those new products, to make updates to features before we bring them out to the general public. So everyone in our community, in the private community space, is under NDA. So they have a non-disclosure agreement with Microsoft. So that means, you know, nothing is shared outside of our community until we get to, you know, public preview or GA, general availability. So we have customers, partners, MVPs, as well as Microsoft employees that are kind of sharing on behalf of their customers, that are giving that feedback back into our product group, to help make those changes, help make us and our products better for usability, right? For securing our customers, for securing our customers' customers. And so that's the main goal. There is also the community component to it, where it's not just that we're sharing surveys and private previews where folks can get hands-on with the bits and bytes of a new feature and let us know, is it working, is it not, and helping us to make the improvements before we go GA. We also have focus groups that will run to go deeper in with a select group of members from the community to talk about some of the challenges that maybe we're seeing and how might they approach it, how are they already approaching it, get feedback on maybe an approach that we're looking at to address a challenge. And then community calls that we run in our community space, which could be roadmap calls where we're opening up, the kimono on the next 6, 9, 12 months and what's on the roadmap and getting early feedback on what's coming, or going deep into a private preview to talk about, what that experience should look like, and getting initial feedback from the community. So we have the calls, we have the surveys, we have the focus groups, we have the private previews, is all kind of formal engagements that we run. But we also just have the community connection and open conversation that we have within the community too. So it may not be aligned with specific formal engagement that the product group is running with the community, but it could just be community members saying, hey, this doesn't seem to be working right. Is this as expected, or is this a bug? Can you help us here? It could be, hey, given this use case that we have within our business, we'd love to see XYZ changes be made to this product. Is this something that's already on the radar, already on the roadmap, or can it be added? So having that direct connection with the product group for things like that, as well as the connection to other members in the community for peer-to-peer conversations, just open community conversations. And this is, a space obviously where MVPs play a huge role, not just because MVPs are giving us great feedback across the different engagements that we run from the perspective of the communities that they serve, but also because MVPs are great at helping to answer questions that come up within the community from other partners or customers that might bring up, questions, concerns, thoughts that they might have, looking for best practices for how to use some of the products, things like that. So MVPs really help in those engagements, both with the PG engagements and the product group engagements and with the engagements with the other community members. Pablo, anything you wanted to add to that?
No, I think that you nailed it. The only thing that I want to mention is that the community is really, it's really there to make sure that both Microsoft has the opportunity to understand what our customers need and their challenges. But as Katie mentioned, it is to give our community of customers and partners and MVP that the space to talk, right? And there is absolutely value from both things, because as company, obviously, we benefit of knowing that we are on a better track when we make decisions for our products. But as the community, I've seen the conversations that many of you have in the community, and we learn from those conversations. But most importantly, you are helping each other. That is perhaps one of the biggest things that make me happier when I see and think of how the community has evolved in the years, how now there is active conversation and community members helping other community members. I love that.
Yeah, it's three ways I guess that you're explaining. Microsoft is learning from people that are helping driving private previews and helping early adopters. That's one. Second, you guys help us as consultants, as MVPs, to get some more information that when it's GA, that we can drive the adoption at customers. And the third is helping each other if we have some problem. And I think community is one of the important things that is giving me energy, for example. And I think lots of people that are in the CCP community is that giving energy to help people to move forward and so on.
Sorry for interrupting, but you mentioned the word energy. It's critical, at least in my persona, and I know that for Katie and many of us in CCP, seeing that activity really energizes us. It's to me in particular is one of the reasons I'm here, because I see the energy of the community and see the goodwill in everybody. I love that.
And if I'm sorry, to add on that
other small thing, because what I always love from community is what we created and you guys created in the beginning, since day one that we joined years ago. It was a safe, secure place where everybody could ask questions. And I think that was the key to it, to be able to ask the question. And then knowing that even the product team or even really high product PMs are reading your messages, but are still interacting with you and not ignoring and things like that. So I think that was a really key drive to have the feeling that you are being listened to and you have been heard in that sense. So that's, I think, a huge thank you to you guys as well and the rest of the team, of course, for creating that.
Yeah. And if I am listening to this episode or viewing this episode, and I'm enthusiastic, I'm a consultant working for a partner, how can I join? Can we share that?
Question, Franz. So there is a single link that you can go to that's aka.ms/joinccp. So JOINCCP. And that will bring you to all of our CCPs that you're able to join within Microsoft. So the one that Pablo and I represent is the security CCP. So we have our Microsoft Threat Protection products in there, which includes, you know, Defender for Cloud, Microsoft Sentinel, the Defender XDR suite of products, the Network Security Group of products. Pablo, let me know if I'm missing any. Perfect. So those all sit in the security CCP.
Some that are not able to mention.
Always more coming. But then there are other customer connection programs as well. So we have one that's around our data security and privacy products. We have around our Copilot for Security products, management, Windows, Intune, Entra. There's a handful that are there. So if you go to, again, aka.ms/joinccp, you can decide which of the CCPs you would like to join from there.
And we will mention that in the description of this episode. So now I only have to click on the link.
Nice. Thank you. And then the only, I think that I would like to say that we only have two requirements. One is, unfortunately, the legal requirement. Participants need to have an active non-disclosure agreement with Microsoft. And I know that this may sound like so complicated, but it truly is not to acquire one. Obviously, those signing an NDA commit to keep all the information shared by Microsoft with them confidential. And that is the framework of trust in which we operate in this program. But the other one, the other requirement that is an informal requirement, but I like to mention it because it's important, the person just needs to be willing to help us, to share their thoughts, to share their ideas, to tell us when needed, Microsoft, this is not how things are working, or this is not how things should work, right? That is what we are looking for, right? In a respectful and constructive way, but we are here to basically hear from our customers what's going well, what needs to change, and even the ugly of things, right? Most importantly, the ugly, so that our organizations can change them.
Yeah, and I think to add to Pablo's point there on that, the second, we'll say loose requirement, so not technically a requirement, but we want to hear from folks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's why we have the community, is that we don't care what size organization you are. You can be an SMB with 20 seats. You can be, large enterprise organization with over 100,000 employees. Like, we want the diversity of all voices from all size companies, from all industries, from all geographies to come in so that we are hearing all the different, perspectives on how users are using our products and what they would like to see, so that we're not just focused on, our biggest customers in the US and, tackling their challenges, but you know, all the different customers that are out there. So we need that diversity within the community so that we can hear it and take it all into consideration as we're building our new features, new products.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nice. Amazing. So we talk about a lot of great, great features, I think, that are in the program. But focusing on the, because this is something we also had with the other MVPs, like are any region or global, but I think also from your side, are there any specific challenges or culture differences in different regions, in your opinion, that impact your work with the community? And how do you navigate through those? I mean, one of the biggest ones is the time difference, I think. to point that one out. but are there any other differences that you see from your community perspective as well that you can share with us?
I can certainly mention perhaps a couple, but to the point of that you mentioned, Puyan, the time difference, there is the reality that we don't have a representation 24/7, right? And the idea of the community is not to be a program that is 24/7, right? For example, a person should not join the community thinking that this is a good place to create support tickets. It is not. But I will say that definitely there one of the challenges that we have is time zone. How can we engage with as many live engagements as possible to anybody around the world, right? And we constantly are looking for alternatives for that. Currently, what we do is specifically on those meetings that we host live, community calls, interviews, focus groups, those meetings are recorded and they are made available to everybody in the community for their listening. And anybody can certainly go back to the speaker or the featured PM who led the conversation or ourselves or us. Katie, myself, or whoever, any CCP PM lead that is leading the engagement, and you can continue to provide your input, right? The other thing that, for example, in other CCPs, we do have the capacity, or we do have representation in other countries, because our organization is also global, right? So we do have people like Katie and myself. We happen to be based in the U.S., we have peers that are based in other places. Lynette Kariuki, for example, she leads mainly engagements for Microsoft Defender for Cloud, XSPM, and those type of engagements. She is based in Kenya, right? And obviously, that gives her ability to have a little bit more of lifetime with people that here in the US, we might not necessarily reach always live, right? So there are those challenges. But again, there is no limitation for anybody to provide input. It's one of those things that I love from Microsoft Teams. And I mentioned this because we host the community on Microsoft Teams. This is where the community lives. Is that allows for asynchronous conversation, right? Somebody that, if it is one in the morning for me, somebody can just put an idea at that time and we will read it. So that is certainly, it's not ideal for every community member, but it's not an impediment. It's not a blocker. When we open private previews, there is no time requirements or time zone regulating private previews. Anybody can test a feature whenever they want. So there is those capabilities. I would say that one of the things that we constantly continue to evolve our community. And sometimes the community members cannot really see this because it's a lot of foundational work in the back end. But we constantly evolve the community to continue to scale. One thing that is really nice for us is that our community continues to grow, right? And so we continuously need to adapt our platform, the way how we do things, to be able to continue to scale and attend or give the community equal opportunity to base their input, right? So it's not necessarily a bad challenge to have. It's a great challenge to have. It drives us to continuously keep evolving. It's just that. I don't know, Katie, if there is anything that you would like to add to that.
No, I think that's great. Actually, probably just the only other thing that comes to mind is that there isn't necessarily a time commitment that we're requiring from members of the community to say, you know, you have to attend every community call, or you have to do X number of previews or something like that. It's really up to you as to which of the engagements you want to engage in, or which of, you know, the conversations you want to engage in the community. So there's no set amount of hours in a day, a week, a month that we're requiring by any means. So just take advantage of those ones that make the most sense for you, that you're most interested in. And that's really, you know, I kind of want to add to that.
Yeah, only thing that I want to say on that is focus. That's the first thing. And second is it's always dinner time when we have meetings, then when we have the CCP calls. But luckily, we have the recordings. So a few hours later or a day later, then I will see, look at the recording. And then I have all the same information, and then I can share my feedback as well. Feedback is not only covered within the meeting, it's also covered later on. We can communicate directly and so on. So it's not a time-bound mechanism that's needed. So luckily, the recordings are there and we can share our information as well.
Mm-hmm. And something else that I would like to mention to the point of membership and their activity, we have different expectations of people in the community. Most of the people in the community have the biggest expectation is to be able to influence where the Microsoft security products are going. And that is also the main goal that we have. But we do have community members who become members because they need to understand where Microsoft is going to be able to make decisions within their organizations. So these are not necessarily members who have always the opportunity or the main goal to voice their feedback. Other people within their organizations might take those roles, right? But they are there to be able to understand where Microsoft is going and to be able to make decisions with a little bit more of time and visibility than other customers may. So to the point of how much activity we need in the community, as Katie mentioned, there is no set expectation. We have community members that they are nice enough to let us know and say, hey, Pablo, I'm going to be away for 3 months because I have this big project in my work, right? Totally fine, right? You, community members, participate whenever you want. That is the reality. Whenever you can, I would say, because I know that a lot of people want to participate all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a few of them. But looking at the Microsoft community, the Microsoft security community, what trends do we foresee in the cybersecurity community landscape? If we're talking about the community at your side, how will that evolve? It's probably difficult to answer, but are there any thoughts on that?
Do you want to start, Katie?
Well, I'll let you take that one first, Pablo.
Okay, I will. Obviously, because the community and the details of what we share with the community in terms of our plans are confidential, I cannot mention specifics. But I can mention some things that obviously are public but are really important. One of those, keep an eye on all the investments that are going to happen around AI in cybersecurity. We all know Microsoft Security Copilot now. It's been announced, and it's one of those trains or those areas where we should expect evolution. Same like any other professional around the world, security professionals have, we all have our own challenges. And the security, cybersecurity space is even the lack of professional or security professionals and the lack of expertise is definitely being noticed around the world, right? So definitely Security Copilot is a space where I suggest keeping an eye. But the reality is that right now we are really focused on making sure that our security products allow for the most comprehensive security coverage, giving the users the best security experience. And you have seen this already going. For example, something that we all know recently announced was the unified SOC platform, where we are bringing Microsoft Sentinel, all the capabilities and the experience of Microsoft Sentinel into the Microsoft Defender portal, right? So that organizations don't have to be jumping from the Defender portal to the Azure portal where Sentinel still lives and so on. So there are a number of investments, both in terms of capabilities, but also in terms of helping our SOC organizations be more efficient, be able to do more, and to ideally focus human resources on those things that matter the most for the organizations, and lean on our security products to help as much as possible scale the limited resources of our companies, of our customers, sorry.
Yeah, great.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Pablo. kind of one, I guess, plus one to Pablo there is it's really about how are we driving the SOC efficiency? How are we driving security teams to be more efficient through our tools, through our products with AI, which, you know, we're still learning, we're still evolving. There's going to be a lot more coming in that space, but simplicity, efficacy, efficiency, like those are things that we're really driving in this space right now. And I mean, AI is behind a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luckily, not
everybody not until that. Until now mentioned AI like the first thing. I mean, but we had a lot of good interactions. Like, I really liked the one from Sana. Sana mentioned that AI, but AI also the risk that it takes, like in the data manipulation side. So, what can you trust in the future? What is true and what's not true anymore? So that everybody has its own. So if we focus a little bit, so we have a. Thank you for sharing a lot about the CCP program with all the great features. But if we step a little bit back and focus on somebody, an IT or security professional who is just starting to looking around and really wants to get involved in the community, maybe take the step to becoming a security MVP or steps further. What is from your side a good advice to them? Where to start? And where to focus on, maybe.
Man, that's a tough one because everyone's going to have different passions, right? Everyone's going to have different areas where they might be more comfortable dipping their toe in and getting started. And so that's where I would say is think about the areas that you're most passionate about. And you can go to, you know, Microsoft Learn, you can join the community, but start to learn more about those areas that are of most interest to you. And if something like an MVP is a type of path that you're interested in, think about the ways that you are most interested in engaging with the community. Is it through contributions to GitHub? Is it through public speaking opportunities? Is it through blogging, vlogging? Do you want to write a book? Like think through some of those areas and then start to lean in more to those areas of interest. So it's not just your technology interests, but it's also then your engagement style interests, right? And then start to put those together. And there are so many opportunities for you to be able to engage both in the private community for CCP, but also in the public community to start to build your brand, start to share your knowledge. And there are some great MVPs that are already out there that can also speak to you. That are already out there. And MVPs are awesome to tap and understand how did they get started and what was their journey and what might they recommend on a potential journey to MVP. So getting, you know, an MVP mentor is great too. And I know a lot of MVPs that are out there that would love to help mentor someone who is super interested in starting that journey.
And perhaps the only thing that I would add to what Katie has shared is don't force it. Don't think that becoming an MVP is what you must do, because there is a huge component of becoming an MVP, and it's having that passion for working with your own communities, having that passion to amplify A or B topic, whatever it is, right? That passion has to be there first. So for anybody thinking of becoming an MVP, I would say you can be a top expert in your space, but you have to have that passion first. And that has to be there. Don't force it. And it's okay not to have that passion, by the way. It's okay not to have that passion, right? Mm-hmm. We all just have different areas of expertise, and we all excel on different things. So if having that community leadership passion is not one, but being an expert on a topic or being a consultant, that is a passion, that is totally fine.
Yeah, making it unique for your own, having the passion in the work that's giving you energy, then you can continue for the next 20, 30, 40 years. If not, if you're only doing that to having a title or whatever, then somewhere it stops because you don't have the energy to do. And that is also, if you want to be a cybersecurity professional, you need to be energized and passionate about the work that you do, only the work at customers or for your own company or whatever. If that's not passionate or energizing, then yeah, probably you will stop working and do some other things. And I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think the word passion is really the key there, because and energy, I say passion and energy are probably the kind of keys to kind of this part of the conversation, because being an MVP isn't a day job. It's not something they're paid for within their organization. This is this is something they do outside of what they get paid for, right? So it really has to be a passion that you get energy from, because as Ron said, it's going to get dropped if it's not. You need that internal drive to want to do this outside of your day job.
I mean, it's 9 p.m. here now, or almost 9 p.m., and we have one more recording going for tonight, so it's going to be a late one. So, yeah. You need to spend time in it and enjoy it as well. It's a right.
And something else that I will mention, speaking for the extroverts out there, one of the characteristics of an introvert person is that we re-energize when we have a long time. We need to have our alone time. And depending on how much introvert you are or not, you have more energy to face people, to face community. I am an introvert extrovert. I am very functional. You have seen me interacting on the MVP summits and when we meet. That energizes me. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I need my quiet time. Speaking for everybody and representing this type of profile, I will say that the community is never going to force you, or becoming an MVP doesn't force you to do that. As an MVP, you can amplify your knowledge and your passion in many different ways. It doesn't have to be by leading a meetup. It doesn't have to be by recording a YouTube. Those are simply channels. Some people like the channels or others. You can find your own channel, the one that allows you to amplify your thoughts a better way for you. I just wanted to mention that on behalf of us introvert extroverts.
Yeah, luckily we have that difference within the program, because if you are asking me to write a book, then definitely I will run away very, very hard, because writing is not the thing that I love to do. Talking is more my style. And luckily, we have the opportunity to interact with each other in different ways. And I think that is helping us. That's helping me, but also others in the area. So introvert, extrovert, I think everyone can be in the program. That said.
And I love the MVP community. Sorry, I keep saying this, but I love the MVP community because it's such a safe environment. The support that I see the MVPs giving to each other on anything, I have to admire that. There is so much sense of brotherhood, sisterhood in the community that is admirable.
Yeah, exactly. Bojan, go ahead with your few last questions, I guess.
So, yeah, we are ending, I think, a little bit the end of this episode. It was great, great conversation. We really enjoyed it. I think we know each other all for very long, many years, but we all learn a little bit from each other again. So one of the last question is, would be, what are your current personal or professional goals for the coming period, particularly in your role supporting the cybersecurity community? Are there any specific goals? I mean, the new fiscal year started, but that's business. But are there any personal goals as well?
So my last quarter goal was to complete the SC900? Was that the cybersecurity basics course? Yeah. So like I said, I don't originate from the world of IT. so this is a learning space for me. So I completed my SC900. I passed with flying colors, or at least I passed. I'm not going to tell you the score. My next goal is actually around project management, and really diving into project management more, because there's a lot of change that's happening in this space. And project management is definitely a muscle that I would like to build as we see some of these things kind of rolling out and changing and so that I can help to better support them.
Nice.
And as for me, it's more of a personal thing that I want to continue cultivating. I was starting to study a little bit more of the area of AI and especially GTPs and how to leverage GTPs and the potential and the possibilities that there are over there. In terms of the community, there is more coming this fiscal year that I'm looking forward to be part of it. And obviously there are things that we cannot share, but I will say this about being one of the persons helping lead this community is whenever we finally see a product being announced to the public and not necessarily just a feature, but something like the unified SOC platform, when we're moving Sentinel to the Defender Portal, something that changes the lives of our customers, hopefully for the better. It's really when one of the things that keep me moving, that knowing that I was part of a large group of people, both within Microsoft and as outside Microsoft, that helped bring that to life. And so I look forward to more of that. Not necessarily this fiscal year, but in general.
Yeah, amazing. Mm-hmm. Rant.
Yeah, to wrap things up, today's episode of the Security MVP Insights, Katie and Pablo, thank you for sharing your thoughts on the CCP program, but also on the broader community within Microsoft and some personal stories. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Franz and Priyan. This was great. Love just, anytime I get a chance to engage with the MVP community, always awesome. Any chance we can talk more about the Customer Connection program, always great as well. Remember, it's at aka.mswecjoincp if you'd like to join the Customer Connection Program. love that you were able to get this series going. I think it's going to be hugely helpful for the broader community. And let us know if we can ever help in supporting your efforts here. Thank you.
And again, thank you, Franz and Puyan, for inviting us. It was a great conversation. Looking forward to continue supporting you and the rest of the community.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Pablo and Katie, for joining us. It was great to have you on the show as well. So, thank you.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you found today's discussion insightful, be sure to join the CCP program. The link, I don't mention it, it will be in the description. But if you want to know more about cybersecurity insights, subscribe to our podcast and stay updated on the latest and greatest of our recordings. I say until next time, and until that, stay secure.